It is good to be back, and I hope this morning you're just thankful. Particularly, I want to give thanks, and just as we look at the worship team, can we just give them a round of applause? They ran through some trials this morning, and yet none of that stops us from being able to come before the Lord. And as we think about that and how we even consider what it looks like here, one of the things I want you to think about this morning is I want you to think about all the different ways of communicating how we think about different things. For example, when something comes in that you've purchased and you get that box from Amazon and you open it up, or the meal that we've eaten together, or maybe just an experience, a trip, some type of an event that we all came to gather together for. I mean, I tell you, I'm continuing to learn new phrases about how to be able to describe those things. I think that has something to do with having teenage daughters in my house. They're very good about communicating in ways that I understand, but then there are also the ways that sometimes I might hear something or I might see a text string that I've got to have interpreted for me as well. But before I go down that rabbit hole, let's stick to things that I actually do understand. Because sometimes, we go somewhere, we do something, and we look to evaluate it. Maybe it didn't go how we expected it. We're going to talk about it in certain ways. It reminds me of, I think we were living in Georgia at the time, and due to my work, Kathy took the kids down to Florida to go to Legoland. Now, we're talking Legoland here. In our family, that's big. There was a lot of excitement for that, particularly for our son, Tim. I mean, the expectations were sky high. But then when they got there, nothing was quite as big as they anticipated. And not just because they used little blocks either. But nothing was quite as elaborate. And even when you look at it, just based on time and the sunshine, everything was kind of faded and it just didn't look as new. Now, there's nothing negative all about that. But I think the phrase that I heard when they came back was, well, that was underwhelming. I mean, maybe just a different way of saying they were disappointed or they felt a little let down about it. I mean, but then again, what about when that's not your experience? Like, for example, with a restaurant. Hey, we went out to that Greek place the other night. It did not disappoint. Or we went on a trip. We were down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. It did not disappoint. Sounds good, right? But truthfully, sometimes you got to look at that and you go, I'm not quite sure. Is that really high praise or is that just better than underwhelming? And then there's the times when we look at things and they just plain exceed every expectation. I mean, that's better, right? Like, for example, now here in a week or so, we're going to be traveling down to Florida for our daughter's wedding. And so that we can have the entire family in one home, we've rented an Airbnb down in Kissimmee. And I tell you, the pictures look amazing. This looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. There's even a slide in one of the bedrooms. Yes, a slide in one of the bedrooms. But I'm going to reserve my right when it's all said and done to come back when we get back from the trip to decide, you know, I mean, this is what they said, but was it underwhelming? Did it just not disappoint or did it exceed all of that, all of our expectations? So with that in mind, I'm going to ask you to open to Ephesians chapter 3 in your Bibles because we want to look now at how do we think about things like this in this world. The question becomes, how do we look at God in this world? How do we look at God and what he does for you? How do we look at God and what he is able and willing to do for us? When we evaluate God's work in our lives, do we look at God's work and say, well, that was underwhelming? Or do we say, well, at least he didn't disappoint? Or do we think about God and see that he exceeds every expectation? You see, this all goes on how we've been looking this year. This year, our theme has been building on our heritage. And I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying this time of looking at how God has so tremendously blessed our church. To think about what is possible for our church going forward. And I would have to say that from what I've seen in the past and what I expect, he is exceeding all expectations. Because it's quite the story of God's faithfulness. It's also the story of the commitment of men and women who have served sacrificially serving God well. You know, we had choices when we built this theme of building on our heritage. One of the options that your pastors all considered in this was we considered just calling it celebrating our heritage, looking back at the 60 years. But that would have put our focus looking backwards, wouldn't it? But we chose this because we also want to focus on the future and what the Lord wants to do in and through our church family in the days ahead. Because we're thankful for the founders of Faith Church, that first generation of members and elders. Okay, they built a tremendous heritage on the foundation of Christ. And now it's our turn. It's our turn to continue building on that. And one day we're going to have to give an account of how we are doing that. We won't be able to take credit for what they've done in the past, but we have to look at what is to come. It reminds me of this passage in 1 Corinthians. It says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another, now that's us, another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. And so how we answer the question about evaluating God's work in our lives will have a dramatic impact on how we build on the foundation. Think about it. If we see God as underwhelming, if that's how we see the past 60 years of what he's done at Faith Church, why do I want to continue building on that foundation? Or if, at least if we look at God and we say, at least he didn't disappoint, still, are you that excited about jumping on the mediocre train? Or would you say that God has exceeded every expectation year after year after year? Fundamentally, we're talking about our personal theology proper, our view of God. And here we're talking as a church, we're talking about our corporate theology proper, our church's view of God. The way that we think about God historically will dramatically impact the way that we look at God for the future. We see this trend historically with the people of Israel. When they had forgotten what God had done for them in the past, they would choose not to look for him for their future either. And all I can say about it is that their choices, well, they were less than underwhelming. They were dramatically catastrophic. Thankfully, God knew that. God knew that, and so he sent his prophets to help them to remember our faithful God who exceeds every expectation. Even in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to help us to see God's work in our lives. And that's what we're seeing today. In today's verses that we will cover in Ephesians chapter 3, they are just for the purpose to help us see the wonder about that which the Lord has chosen to do here right in our midst. And so if you will, join me. We're going to read in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. Paul wrote, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." this morning, as we consider the words of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, what we are talking about here is how we can learn from an apostle's prayer for us. And in the time that we have together, I want us to look at three responses to Paul's petitions for Christ's church. Now, to begin this, to start, we want to understand the foundation of Paul's prayer. And to do that, we must consider the circumstances of Paul's position, because a prayerful apostle, he was a prayerful apostle during a time of personal suffering. And yet he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." Now, this is the second time in the letter that Paul has chosen to share the content of his prayers for the people in Ephesus to whom he's writing. But let's think about it. This is one of Paul's letters which he was writing while he was imprisoned in Rome. Yet who is he praying for at this time? I mean, what if it was you or I that was in prison and we're praying? How do you think our prayers might have been different from Paul's? Would I have been praying for my release from jail? Would I have been praying simply for the conditions in the jail? Could we at least get some decent food? Why is it taking so long for my case to get before the magistrate? Why is my file not the one that's sitting right on the center of his desk? Yet the Apostle Paul, well, he's praying for his brothers and sisters. And now we don't know every detail of the exact conditions of his imprisonment, but it's not too much of a stretch to picture Paul either writing himself or dictating his letters for men and women just like you and me. And now if you had read ahead in Ephesians, you might also then be looking at this and saying, yeah, I know, Pastor Rod, you're saying he's praying for us, but he prays for himself in this letter too. Well, at a minimum, when I look at that, I can certainly say that his prayers for himself, well, they're not about his conditions or his release. He asks others to be praying for him, asking them, pray on my behalf, that the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness, the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So when we look at that, even there, we can't look at Paul and say that his focus was on himself. It was about asking him to be emboldened that he might be able to share the gospel with others. And so this is the question that we can ask for ourselves today. So our first application of the day of what do we hear on Sunday that should help us to change on Monday? I want to ask you, how often do we pray for the church? How often do we pray for others in the church? Do we pray over the ministries that God has entrusted to us? Because when we think about building on our heritage, what is more important than building on those things? Then another aspect of understanding the foundation of Paul's prayer would be seeing how Paul was amazed by the nature of the church. Now, if you've been following along in the text, you might also then be going, now, where did Pastor Rod actually get that from? Well, I believe it comes when he starts by saying, for this reason. Now, here's your exegetical lesson for the day. When we are reading God's word and you see a phrase like, for this reason, one of the questions that I would want you to then turn around and ask is, for what reason? For what reason? Well, it points us back further in the chapter, because I want you to take a look. This is Ephesians 3 coming through, but we see actually, for this reason was in verse 1. And so when that connects directly to our for this reason today in verse 14, it helps us understand better. Think about it. When I talked about the mystery of the gospel 2 weeks ago, I described that passage as being like the idea that just pops into your head when suddenly you're just going off on a tangent. But this is actually what Paul was doing, because Paul was beginning this thought that we're going to read about, that we've read for today, for this reason. But before he could go there, unlike me, where I might go off on something that was a distraction, he was actually sharing something that was important for us to understand. Paul needed to convey about the mystery of the gospel, in that through Christ, the Gentiles are included in God's kingdom. Now, if you want to revisit that topic at all, know that all of our sermons are maintained online, and you can go back and re-listen and take a look and look at what any of your pastors are saying so we can compare it to God's Word, and I'd always encourage you to do that. But now we need to get back to the question, for what reason? Well, this is one of those cases I'm going to go, rather than me explaining, I'm going to bring in a guest preacher. I'm going to bring a little to John MacArthur to us today. And so this is what John MacArthur said about this specific thing. For this reason, picks up after the parenthesis of 3, 2 through 13. That's what we preached 2 weeks ago. And begins by repeating the words of verse 1. The reason about which Paul speaks is therefore found now back in chapter 2. That Christ makes us spiritually alive in him. We are his workmanship, no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens of the saints and are of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and we are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. For this reason, therefore, that our new identity makes us a dwelling place of God, Paul prays for the Ephesians to use the power that their great status in Christ provides, because God's power in those believers, Paul prays that God would enable them to employ the fullness of that power. Because believers are the habitation of the triune, all-powerful God of the universe. Paul prays that their unlimited energy from him would be manifested. No wonder Paul would pray for the church, if that's what we're talking about here, being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Paul was amazed by that, and I hope we are all too amazed by God's work in that. Because can you see how God has been doing that around this place for the last 60 years? God has been building us, his church, into a place where he dwells. You see, when I meet people at the biblical counseling conferences, or they may come and visit our community center, it's not unusual to hear a question that asks, how does faith do all of this? But the answer doesn't rest in me. It doesn't rest in any of us. The answer is, our God has chosen to dwell in this place because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He's making us into his dwelling place. You see, I've been a part of many churches before coming to faith. I've been a part of many good churches with a lot of good people. But yet I can't explain why we see the difference of what we see here. Because there is no human explanation for what is happening and how it's all come about. You see, that can only be explained by God choosing to make his dwelling among us. And so by looking at Paul's prayer, seeing that he is amazed by the nature of the church, we also see that he is focused on the diversity of the body. When he says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Again, he's still pointing us back to chapter 2. The incredible mystery that the Jews and Gentiles alike are brought together in the church. Every redeemed family being joined together because of a common bond in Christ Jesus. Abraham is our father. Mary is our sister. We are related to the Philippian jailer and his family. We're also related to the Samaritan woman by the well. Rahab the prostitute. It also means that the Huttons are joined to the Moras, to the Malincheks, to the Trents, to the Houtses, to the Starkweathers. All across. Everywhere we go, all of us join together who are members of this church. Jesus described how the church would be born after Israel rejected their Messiah. He shows us how he's brought us to this place. After he had described that, Peter made a beautiful profession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And then Jesus came back to this same theme again after his death, burial, and resurrection. In Acts, in chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the, even the remotest parts of the earth. All of that was a statement bringing together the nations, where every family in heaven and on earth would derive its name. And what happened 10 days after this, on the day of Pentecost, proves it all out. Look at this from chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation. There we are. Every nation is seeing this. Devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, so this clearly was not just inside the room, when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, Why are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya and around Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, every nation on the earth, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and what great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? Even though others were still mocking and saying they're full of sweet wine. So what do we see in our church? Every ethnicity, every nationality, all of them included. Even consider when we see today the ethnic tensions that are going on in the Middle East with Israel and the Palestinians, okay, and the spillover of that tension around the world in protests and conflict. Ask yourself, who possibly could bring peace and reconciliation and a oneness in a situation like that? It's not going to come from any government leaders. It's only going to come from the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what this means for all of us. When others watch our church family, and they see that despite the differences of what we see within our church, all of our quirks, all of our idiosyncrasies, when they see that we worship together and we serve the one Lord together, they have to ask, how can that be explained? The answer? God is dwelling among them, from whom every family in heaven and earth is deriving its name. And how is that possible? Well, it's based on our Father's endless and glorious resources. The resources that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. You see, Paul loved the church. And I hope that we love the church as well. That we are more than just a destination on Sunday morning. That we want to be a part of what God is doing as he chooses to dwell among his people to have an impact here in our area. Because that becomes the foundation of our prayer. And so as we learn from this apostle's prayer, we find the foundation for our own prayer. And so with that foundation, then, we can choose to pursue the content of Paul's prayer. You see, Paul's prayer requests for the Ephesians, they're timeless. These are requests and needs, that were clearly needed for the first century church. But I would argue that the 21st century church needs them every bit as much. And I hope that we would say that specifically our church wants it every bit as much, that we would depend on the Lord every bit as much so that we might be strengthened with power. As he said, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man. And when we look at all that God has entrusted to our church in terms of ministry opportunities, ministry responsibilities, I will tell you, just for myself, I can feel overwhelmed at times just considering the ministries that I have the opportunity to be involved in and lead. But then I can see an even bigger picture. I mean, Jerry Jameson, some of you may know him. Jerry is our longest standing member at Faith Church. He's been here almost the entire 60 years. And as he has watched Faith grow, the phrase that he might use is, well, God just keeps moving the decimal place. Well, that's a good description when we consider how and when each of these ministries has been added, growing our church. Because it requires a great deal of faith and discipline to not become anxious or overwhelmed when we look at the size of these ministries, even the size of their budgets compared to our own checkbooks, our own households, because it is big, it is complex, and it can even be frightening at times. But that's one of the reasons Paul was praying for his brothers and sisters. And it's why I would be asking for all of you to be praying for our brothers and sisters, that we would be strengthened with the power through his Spirit. Because when I look at all of these ministries, I don't know about you, but I see multiple times over where something only got started because of why? Because God is who he says that he is. And so we can take him at his word. Even when we're placed at the tip of the spear, even in front of the greatest needs where there may be risk or even danger, how then should we pray? To be strengthened with power in his Spirit in the inner man. I'd like to highlight two of our ministries here at Faith and ask you to be especially in prayer for them. First, I want to just share a little bit about the Faith Community Development Corporation. You see, the mayor and the city asked Faith to begin this ministry to consider working in the North End. Now, I have come to love this part of town. Moving here 6 years ago, just to see all that is here. But I also recognize there are a fair number of needs around us. And one of those needs is the issue of affordable housing. Now, there was a federal program that addresses that challenge and provides funding specifically to help revitalize neighborhoods and houses, and it has to be led by a nonprofit. Now, at that time, those funds were actually being left on the table because our city couldn't find anybody who could actually take over and meet that need. Now, I'm glad that they chose and they asked Faith Church to be able to take a look and say, could you do this? Because it was certainly not good for our city to leave all that. And so they asked, and Faith took on that responsibility. And we have successfully had the opportunity to complete a number of projects, to help a number of families, to make some modest improvements here and around our neighborhoods. And we're glad for all of that. Lori Walters did a wonderful job helping us to launch the CDC, and now Pastor Ross Reeder is providing excellent leadership and continuing to build on that heritage. But there are two significant challenges with all of that that we need to understand, that we can continue to pray that we would be strengthened in his power. Because many of the houses that we choose, they're in serious need of renovation. The renovation is far beyond what a private investor would want to take on because they'd have to spend more money than they could recoup through refurbishing that house. But then there's also the problem that these houses are considered by the government to be of historic significance. So that means we can't just remove the windows. We can't just change the doors or the trim. There are a lot of issues that need to be dealt with in that area. And then on top of that, most of these houses, because of their age, are likely to include lead-based paint. Now, almost all the homes that we have worked on potentially included lead-based paint. Now, we used to simply be able to paint a ceiling coat over the top of that, and that was considered an acceptable response. But those standards have since changed, and now it has to be professionally removed. And there's practically no companies or people out there who are actually trained and willing to go do that kind of work. And so not just Faith CDC, but CDCs all across the nation are facing this issue that what is required in order to actually receive the funding to do this work cost much more than the funding that is offered. So the question then becomes, should we be looking as a church to be serving the North End and our friends here in that particular program? What should people like you and I do in that situation? Well, we should pray. We should pray that we would be strengthened with the power through the Spirit in the inner man. And so as we consider the ministries of Faith Church, I would ask you to be specifically in prayer for our Community Development Corporation. The second ministry that I'm going to highlight today, I'm going to personally covet your prayers for, because it's Vision of Hope. The story of God's mighty provision to bring this ministry into existence is incredible. It exceeds every expectation. This afternoon, we're going to have the joy of gathering together to rejoice, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's some tears as well, as we celebrate the graduation of six of our sisters in Christ who came to find the hope and the help that resides only in the power of the gospel. Now, today's graduation is an open invitation. And so I would encourage you all to consider coming to Faith East at 2 o'clock today. And I can promise you one thing. You will walk away encouraged. Now, since stepping into the role as executive director, I have been blessed to see what has been built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ through the prior directors, Jocelyn Wallace, Mark Shaw, and Dr. Charlie Hodges, as well as the faithful serving women like Heather Starkweather, like Nikki Barnheiser and Heather Putney. This ministry has many unique challenges to it as we seek to minister to make this ministry available to anyone who has need. And that includes making the care as affordable as we possibly can. Well, at the same time, we have to acknowledge that running a home and staffing it and serving in this kind of a ministry, it can be expensive as well. But the question is, should we run away just because the numbers don't necessarily line up perfectly in a budget? Is that what our church should do? Is that what our church has done over the past 60 years? And so can I ask that you would pray that we would be strengthened with power through the Spirit of the inner man. And I ask as well, as you look at it and you see the needs of these ministries, there are many ways that you can get involved. And if the Lord has blessed you financially and that's something you wanted to consider, I'll be happy to talk to you about it. But I first would offer, come to the graduation today. Come and be encouraged. And then I simply ask that you would be an encouragement back to Vision of Hope by praying that we would be strengthened with the power through the Spirit of the inner man. And so now as we continue to pursue the content of Paul's prayer, we also want to pursue that we would be indwelt by the Savior, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, I expect as well that some of the things I've just shared, even about these two ministries, might bring concern to your heart. They can even make us nervous. But would I surprise you if I said that there are plenty of other challenges when we look in every other direction as well? Why is that? Because we're a sin-cursed people living in a sin-cursed world. And if we look at all of the ministries and all of the potential problems and all of the potential risks, what might we conclude? We'd look at all that and go, we're in big trouble. Unless God is who he says that he is. Because if Christ is dwelling in our hearts through faith, well, we don't have much room left. We don't have any room left for worry, room for fear, room for apathy, or even selfishness. We could talk about this in so many levels, including within our personal lives. And as a counselor, I'm humbled to be able to have the opportunity to help individuals and couples who are walking through some deep, deep trials, marriage or family issues that are simply heartbreaking. And many times we want to come back and say, how am I going to address this? Many times I end up finding myself coming back to Psalm 34. And if you haven't had any time to meditate on Psalm 34 recently, let me just share a few verses of what the psalmist has told us. Because the psalmist says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. He goes on then to say, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. And then he goes on to remind us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And then finally, in 18 and 19, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. These verses help me to be able to pray for someone who is suffering, but it also allows me to be able to ask them to pray for me. That God is where we would seek our refuge and give thanks, knowing that he is near to the brokenhearted, and as his child, who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, I can know all of this is true. Because the comfort of the indwelling is a part of Paul's prayer for us, as well as that our understanding of God's love would be ever increasing. Paul goes on to pray, saying, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Would you be surprised if I said that much of what gets done here in and by this church has nothing to do with the pastors, the programs, or the facilities, but rather it is simply the day-to-day informal life of brothers and sisters in Christ as we seek to grow and serve together? Often when I'm calling to check up on one of our Faith Church North members and they're walking through some trials, I want to take the time to be able to pray with them, ask how we might be a blessing to them. They share, well, they're thankful for the call. And then they tell me about how their faith group has already been a part of helping them, or another member of our church has already visited them. What would you call that? I call that brothers and sisters who know the love of Christ and are the living answers to the very prayer in ways that benefit others, both practically and powerfully. And so reflecting on that is why when we continue our prayer, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. This can all go back to the questions about what we should do as a church. How much risk should we take on? How many things should we do? How much is too much? There certainly needs to be wisdom in these types of decisions. Well, at the same time, we have to be careful not to choose to live so comfortably, so safe, that we insulate ourselves from the opportunity to rely on being in the fullness of God. And so this goes on to the question for our year. Are we building on our heritage, or are we resting on our laurels? Because one of those causes us to drop to our knees and pray. Well, the second one, that's a different posture. But I pray that we would choose to be dependent upon the fullness of God in our ministries. And then, if that's where we find ourselves, I believe that we'll also find that our final response to be that we can celebrate the implications of Paul's prayer. You see, sometimes when these ministries are already in place, and they might just seem to be like, this is just the way that it was. This is just the way that it is right now, and so it always will be. But truly, our ministries here at the church are evidence that our God wants to do more than we can ever imagine. Sometimes when we spend the majority of our time at one location, like even for myself, because so much of my time could be focused here at the North End, we might lose the awe and wonder of seeing all that God has done to expand his reach in the Lafayette area. You see, think about this. We have been blessed with 5 ministry platforms. We see a beautiful campus over at Faith East, and this aerial picture is old enough. It doesn't even show our senior living community. It doesn't show what God's done with the sports fields up in that brown field area. That's growing for the church. We also have just the amazing things that are going on over at Faith West. We're so thankful for what we have here at the North End, but we also can't forget the Hartford Hub and the opportunities that God has given us there, or out on the northeast side of town at Bethany Farms and Restoration Ministries. I love the opportunity to walk through here or any of these. And as we do so, I have to be careful not just to showcase faith, to say, look at what we have done, but rather I want to celebrate. I want to celebrate the work that God has done to his glory. Well, at the same time, I want to be careful in how I use the phrase ministry platforms, because we don't want to just talk about facilities, because that's not what it's about. In a sense, every believer in Jesus Christ who is a part of our church is a ministry platform. Wherever you go, you're a ministry platform in your home, in your community, at your work, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so as we seek to learn from the Apostles' Prayer for us, can I recommend a task that I think would be a blessing to each and every one of us? I want to recommend a prayer scavenger hunt. You're going, what do you mean by that? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to load up your car with some of your brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to take a copy of God's Word with you. I want you to throw some praise music on the radio, and then I want you to go to each of these five locations that we just described, that we saw the pictures of. And then when you get there, I want you all to stop and get out of the car. Go walk around and praise God for what he has done. And then pray for the ministries that are there, marveling at God's work as he has filled us up. And how could we, of all people, in doing that, ever doubt the truth that now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think? And then I want us to pray about how that impacts our thinking for our future. How are we building on our heritage? Because our God wants to powerfully work in us, according to the power that works within us. We are so much more than the collective human strength of all of our church members, because this is not about there is strength in numbers. No, there's strength in the Lord, which is why we long for this to be true. And then in this, we can fulfill our purpose such that our God can be glorified by us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, such that through all of this, we can believe that our God can have a generational impact. I love being part of a church where we see multiple generations worshiping together. And I can only imagine the days when our children will bring their children, and they might step right here into the North End Community Center, or they might take their children over to Faith Christian School, where they might be a part of their worship team, where they might be a part of their drama production, walking in the footsteps of prior generations as they hear the stories of what God has done in the past, seeing what God continues to do, and considering and praying about what God will do in the future. And I can only imagine how that will bring them to singing the praises of God. Now, they might describe it in different phrases than what we would, but I would certainly expect they would all come down to saying, wow, that was beyond every expectation. Or maybe, just maybe, they'll be thinking about these verses that we studied to him. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, we give thanks and we praise you. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed to us and showed us Paul's prayer for the people in Ephesus. And Lord, we thank you how that prayer is for us as well. Lord, we want to come alongside you. We want to see the beauty of your work. And Lord, to be able to hold on to you tight. For it's only in you, through you, and by your strength that we can do the things that we do. Lord, I pray now that as we go forth from this place today, Lord, that you would sustain us. But Lord, you would also show us and open our hearts to see the beauty of all that you have done. Lord, help us to be able to cry out to your glory. Lord, that we might be a part of building the church that will never be overwhelmed because it is in your name. Lord, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.